The fuck was that?
Nothing. How do I convince you that it was nothing and not definitely something I set up before you got here because you were taking too long? Ow, fuck. That hit my tooth.
Just fucking smashed that shit into your tooth. That's crazy.
Hey, Dawson. This is television's Joe Rogan. How have you been? I / and sitting here wondering why you two fucking morons are even bothering with a new episode of this stupid podcast. Earlier, Carson was watching Modern Bubba Sparks interviews. Do you remember him?
No.
Of course you fucking non-/T. You were born in 2013. Carson's phone broke earlier too. For the third time in the last few months.
What the fuck?
What a goofball.
What?
Anyways, I like this song. It sounds like Fight Night. It / as fresh to death.
What was with all the /
The AI can't handle apostrophes.
Oh.
Yeah, because it's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
But it's pretty funny. I made a couple more. We'll splice these in, you know?
Yeah.
We'll put those into the actual episode.
I am gay. I am gay. Put me in the back of a truck, cause I am gay. I need a beer. I am gay. I am gay. Sometimes I feel straight, sometimes I suck penis. Ain't always black and white, life's in between. I maneuvered down Worcester with finesse, you see. Might in a...
So, yeah.
Did you write all of that?
Yeah, I did. Can you tell?
I need a beer. I am gay.
Well, okay, I put in modern country song. And yeah. It gave me two options. It gave me that one and then also gave me this one.
I am gay. I am gay. Put me in the back of truck, cause I am gay.
I think the other one was better.
I am gay.
Yeah,
I am gay. Sometimes I feel straight, sometimes I suck penis. Ain't always black and white, life's in a...
Yeah. Just, yeah, I'm really happy that Joe Rogan could express his fluid sexuality on our podcast.
Yeah, you know, Joe... You platformed a lot of crazy people, but I'm glad you feel comfortable enough to do
it. It's
that
a big exclusive for us, man.
Yeah.
Rogan.
I can't believe Joe Rogan is gay. Kind of,
maybe.
A little bit.
We'll see. You're coming through, right?
Yeah, I'm coming through.
Okay.
Hang on,
let me try something.
I have a new mic today, chat. Currently I have a sock on it.
A sock
as a pop filter.
Yeah. You have an SM57.
Mm-hmm.
Did I ever tell you the story of, like, we were shooting music videos with the Washburns, John and Zach Washburn.
Washburn.
Who I don't know if you've encountered them in your time in the Atlanta music scene.
I don't think so.
I love them. They're like, they have, like, high-budget-looking stuff, but they, like, constantly want to do everything, like, as low-budget as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Presumably because, like, you know, none of these fucking DIY bands have, like, a ton of money to pay these guys. So, you know, I think we gave them, like, $500 for... I think we gave them $500 for the Fake Dinosaur Bones video.
Mm-hmm.
And then we gave them $700 for the Blackberry DeLorean music video.
That's cheap as fuck.
I know. This was back when that was, like, all we could afford.
Mm-hmm.
And they knocked it out of the park, obviously. But I think on the Blackberry one, it might have been on both, honestly, where I was like, hey, like, I don't want to use, like, something stupid for a mic. Can you, like, we'll pay you guys back, like, can you, like, go get us, like, a normal ass Shure microphone, like, mm-hmm. one you would see at a show, like, that makes sense for a band to use. And literally both times they showed up with an SM57. I was like, cool. Like, awesome. Are we miking the snare today? Like, what's going on? Like, no, this is your vocal mic. And I'm like, fuck. Just because, like, I think in every other music video that we had done previously, our budget was, like, even lower. I mean, we're talking, like, maybe $100 spent. And that was, like, just to get food for the rest of the band or something like that. Mm-hmm. There's literally a music video for Animal Tetris where it's, like, just a PowerPoint presentation that moves really slow, which is so stupid. But
pretty funny.
Pretty funny. It's bad. I don't remember what it is. I bet I would cringe at it now. I think it's just on our Facebook, too, which is even funnier.
The Facebook exclusive music video.
The Facebook exclusive music video for Mausoleum Nathan. Yeah, so we, like, had, like, such small budgets that, like, the music videos just, I wouldn't be singing into a microphone, which is probably fine, but, like, singing into an SM7 57 is, like, objectively way goofier. Yeah. Like, it just looks so silly.
It's like, yeah. it doesn't have the ball on it.
It doesn't have the ball, no.
There's no ball.
Yeah.
None at all.
No ball at all.
No ball at all.
I hate when I have no ball at
all. No ball. Not at
all. There's no ball. You don't have a ball.
Oh!
Anyway, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Scott moved in the other day.
Scott texted me that he moved in. I haven't texted him back yet. Yeah. I should do that. But
you know, he told me last night. He was like, yeah, I texted Carson and he didn't respond. And I was like, he probably just forgot.
Busy.
Yeah, that's what I told him.
Fucking busy.
You're a busy boy.
I was doing this ridiculous errand yesterday.
What? How was it so ridiculous?
I had to deliver a bed frame and a box spring. By the way, everybody, like, before this, I was driving around, like, a little Chevy, like, four-door sedan.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's, like, what was in the family. And I was like, this is a car I can drive.
Mm-hmm.
I, like, had insurance on it and everything. Not that that's important. Every car you drive should have insurance on it. I don't know why I brought that up. But then, like, that car got sold while I was on tour. So I was like, all right, whatever.
This most recent tour?
This most recent tour, yeah.
Damn.
I know. Cold as ice, right? But, like, ice my pickup truck that I've had since I was, like, 18, still in the pool. And I've, like, put in a ton of money to fix that. And I've just been, like, fixing it little by little over the past few years. It's a 30-year-old vehicle. It's a 1994. I've had this pickup truck for, like, 3 weeks, everybody. And, like, just motherfuckers up my ass to do pickup truck related errands.
That's what happens.
My mom was like, hey, can you take this bed frame, bed and box spring that I sold on Facebook Marketplace to this lady in fucking Sandy Springs?
Sandy Springs.
Yeah, which I don't live there anymore. If I lived there a few years ago. I guess a year ago, it would, like, make sense, but I live in Alpharetta now. My address is 555. So I was like, she was like, how much do you want, like, to go do this? I set my prices, like, super high. I was like, fucking $50. Are you kidding me? Like, mm-hmm. to just do this pickup truck related errand while it's so hot.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I was like, I want to set my prices high to minimize the amount of, like, pickup truck related chores I was doing. Keep in mind, I was not charging my mom this. I was charging this lady on Facebook Marketplace this.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, me thinking for sure she'll just be like, no, I'll come pick it up myself. She was so game.
Damn.
She was like, 50. Yeah, sure. I was like, shit.
Didn't set it high enough.
I know.
Fuck.
So I drive to Sandy Springs, which, like, in theory, Sandy Springs is, like, 15 minutes away from here, like, without traffic. This lady was, like, deep in the, like, trenches of Sandy Springs, like, practically Marietta. If you don't live in Georgia, this is all very confusing. But, like, practically Marietta.
She was in place that was relatively close, but place that was relatively far within that place.
It took me an hour to get there.
Ah!
Which Sandy Springs proper is like, I don't know, 15 minutes without traffic, 20 minutes with traffic from here. So I was like, what's the fucking deal, man? And then I got there, and this lady like would not talk to me. And I was like, all right. Like, I don't know what this, she just like handed me cash, and I was like, oh, maybe she doesn't speak English. She's speaking perfectly fine American accentless English to her kid. And I was like, fuck me, man. Like, what did I do?
Maybe she thought that you didn't speak English.
Ooh, good point. Maybe, well, okay, what, just assume you're looking at me for the first time.
Yeah.
And, but you're in a different country.
Yeah.
And you know I don't speak English. Like, which country is that? Mexico. I have a couple realistic ones, but like realistically, I could be like a white South African.
Yeah, I guess. I mean,
but they speak English, don't they?
Yeah.
I could be Dutch.
Cybertron? Yeah.
You think I speak fucking Transformers language? Are you saying
like,
that because I have Transformers comics right next to my feet right now?
Yes. It's all like right, it's well, like prop comedy.
If I saw you and like knew you didn't speak English somehow, if I was in a country,
if you had that telepathic reasoning,
like Norwegian, probably.
Norwegian.
You do kind of look like Scandinavians. Look, Icelandic, maybe like a tall Icelandic.
Is that just because I'm tall?
No, I think Icelandic people are generally shorter. I don't know why I know that though.
I don't either.
I also think it might not be true.
I don't really know. Any Icelandic people in the chat?
Pop off.
Feel free
for sure
to let us know.
For sure. You know, there's no last names in Iceland. You have a last name, but it's like your father's name and then either son or daughter.
Oh. 'Cause
son and daughter are like the same in Icelandic as English. So like if your dad's name was like Johan, like...
Johansson
or Johan daughter.
What if you're non-binary?
I don't know what happens then.
Okay.
It's just what you're born as. I assume you could probably change later.
Yeah.
I don't think that it's like that's just like what your last name reads as.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it's weird to like not have a last name until you're born. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That is strange.
It's like, this is Harold something.
Had Harold Gudmundsdottir.
Harold Franklinson.
Yeah,
I don't
for
fucking
sure
know.
Harold Franklinson, yeah.
Harold Peter.
But that's why so many of them just go by their first names. Bjork.
That's true.
Jonesy.
You know, now that you mention it, Bjork does have a last name that ends with son.
Bjork. Daughter. It ends with daughter. Mm-mm. Goodman's daughter?
I don't think that's true.
Well, considering I just researched this recently.
Well, actually, considering... That's what I have to say about that.
Oh, cool. Thanks, man.
You're welcome, man. Hey, how'd you break your phone?
Fucking dropped it walking into Taco Mac.
Fuck.
One of the few restaurants open on 4th of July.
Oh, you're right. I was just...
Yeah. Yeah, maybe you should trust
your stupid friend Carson
sometimes.
Maybe.
Hang on, what else did I use the AI voice for?
You have a Shaq one on there.
I do.
I wasn't with them during this.
No, that's secret dad voice stuff.
Okay.
This may be the single most chilling message you will ever hear.
Fuck it, of course.
This may be the single most chilling message you will ever hear.
You know, I didn't love the Family Guy one until just now.
Yeah.
I did it with Drake, too.
This may be the single most chilling message you will ever hear.
The Drake AI is like... particularly tuned upwards.
Yeah.
I'm like, he doesn't always sound like that.
He's got like a deeper register.
He's
sometime.
Got like a deeper register.
Speaking
I don't know.
Of Drake, you see the Not Like Us video dropped?
It dropped an hour ago. How am yeah. I supposed to keep up?
Dude, it's so good. Have you
Is
watched
it, good?
It yet?
No, I haven't watched it yet.
Dude,
no.
Kendrick gets
I was
off
watching,
like
our friend Joe said, I was watching modern Bubba Sparks interviews.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Kendrick gets off like five best fits of all time in one video.
Damn.
Like, he really proves that he was in the right place to say, I hate the way that you dress.
That's awesome.
Because
the fits are crazy.
He's got that shit on
That's
so
awesome.
Many times.
I
it's
can't
crazy.
Wait. I can't wait to see it.
Also, he's dancing with Whitney and his kids in the video.
Nice.
So, like,
That's
if
fun.
There was any doubt that Drake was completely full of shit, now there isn't.
Nice.
So,
well, let's.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to
the
podcast.
Way.
Yeah.
We're back. Still the he him brothers.
The he him brothers. I'm Carson.
I'm Dawson. He's he and I'm him.
Can we put feet Joe Rogan on this?
Featuring
sure. Joe Rogan. I think we should. Technically, he's there.
I can't foresee any issues coming from that.
Neither can I. No, I don't. And I don't think Spotify would have any issue with it.
No.
Our primary listener base, right? Or do people use other platforms?
It's mostly Spotify.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, today we're talking about a surprisingly good?
I don't know.
Song?
We're talking about Church.
Here's a snippet of it.
And it's over.
And by the way, everybody, we should mention that today is the
4th.
And then there's a clip of 4th of July by Fall Out
Boy. Oh.
It was the 4th of July. That song sucks, man.
Yeah, that song is terrible.
Anyway.
Wouldn't it be crazy if we got that song for today?
I
mean, the episode
that would
isn't
be nuts.
Coming out today, but like.
True. True.
You know.
Yeah, but it's so hacky.
Yeah.
You know? And also, like, even if it did come up organically, like, can you imagine the cynicism at which people would be like, oh, the wheel's fake.
Yeah.
I show people the wheel in real life. If you want to see the wheel, if you see me in person, you can see the wheel.
Yeah.
I'll pull it up on my damn phone.
The wheel is real.
The wheel is real. I showed it to Jake from No Cure at Knoxville Hardcore Fest.
Oh, is that who that was?
Yeah, while you were playing, I think.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, check out this wheel.
Hey, check out this wheel. Just the most autistic thing you could do. Look at my wheel, Jake.
Jake, look at my wheel.
Jake, come on.
So, fun fact about this song. This is... my friend Kennedy told me this is her favorite Fall Out Boy song.
Interesting.
And she brought it up because she was like, yeah, you guys have this on your next episode, which I didn't even know she listened.
Hi, Kennedy.
Hi, Kennedy.
Hi.
Anyway. And going into this, I was like, well, you're not going to like this damn episode then, because I have a feeling we're going to just trash this song for like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And then I listened to it. And I got like halfway through it and I was like, this isn't the worst thing I've ever heard in my whole life.
No. Here's the thing is like, there's this weird emotion I feel towards like, there's this weird emotion I feel towards music that I rarely hear. And the best example I can give is like music that like people whose tastes don't align with mine, like when they're showing me a song, mm-hmm. and I like never listen to it again, and like, but I'm not like, I don't hate the song, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it just doesn't do anything for me.
It's just not your vibe.
This is slightly above that, but slightly below re-listen territory.
I would struggle to call this a good song.
I think it's pretty good.
I would also struggle to call it a bad song.
Yeah. This one's weird.
Yeah.
I'm really, because like, I remember release day of Mania. I was texting my ex about this album the day this came out, and I was like, this is so depressing. Like, this is just bumming me out. Like, mm-hmm. this album is so bad. And I remember specifically bringing up this song and being like, this fucking sucks. So when this appeared on the wheel, I was like, it was a very annoying thing to text your partner, by the way. It's like, oh, my favorite band made a bad album. Like, in hindsight, like, I'm such a fucking asshole for that. Like, she didn't fucking care.
Well, who else are you going to text about that?
Exactly, no. But
that's what dating someone is for,
for,
you know,
sure,
to annoy the
sure.
shit out of them about things that they don't care about.
Last night I texted my girlfriend that like, I was working on a song for the new Dowboys record, and I was like, there's just the content that it's about is like just particularly geared towards like making me very emotional. Mm. And I was like on this long rant there about like animals in captivity and stuff like that, like man's foolishness to control fucking dangerous animals. And she was like, yeah, for sure. And then just like went and talked about something else. And I was like, that's fair.
Awesome.
I was like, I get it, sweetie.
I understand, sweetie. Man's hubris is not something that.
Yeah, hubris. That was the hubris, word I was looking for. Yes. Thank you.
My
recklessness.
Pubis.
Yeah, my hubris. My pubis.
My pubis.
Anyway, and then I was listening to it today, and like there are parts of this song that are like. And I think we've mentioned this before with Mania. Mania is like them trying a bunch of stuff that they've never done before. Mm. This song specifically, I hear them trying things that they've never done before, and it works. Which I think is the crazy part, is that, again, it's not towards like, I'm going to listen to this all the time territory. Mm-hmm. It's maybe in my head, like a little bit. Like if I think about it, I can hear the hook. Whereas like with some of the songs in the post hiatus, pre So Much for Stardust era, there's so many songs where I'm just like, I can't even begin to tell you like what the verse of that song sounds like. Mm-hmm. Whereas this, I can mostly pull every part of this in like in my head. I can hear it. Which is impressive. And there's so much on this song that they're trying that I'm like, that's cool. That worked. Yeah, I don't know. That, again, that being said, like, does the song as a whole work? Not exactly. But I don't know. What? Give me your thoughts. I'm talking too much.
I think My feelings toward this song is not that I really
went to check my phone. it doesn't work.
It's yeah, Carson's phone screen is genuinely. He turns it on and it's all black except for the very top right corner.
The very top right corner. Yep. And it's 4th of July, so it's not like I can get it fixed.
Yeah.
My Apple Pay works. I paid for ice cream earlier.
So. That's good.
Yeah.
But yeah. I don't really think this song has a lot of elements that really draw me in. I mean,
sure.
The hook is catchy, I guess. I kind of fuck with the bass line and the verses.
Mm-hmm.
My main thing is that there's not anything in this song that makes me hate it.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of listen to it, and it mostly goes in one ear and out the other, which is
sure
more than I can say for most of this record. It's
biggest crime is being mid for you, at least.
It's very mid, and like I was expecting the worst shit I've ever heard in my life.
Sure, sure.
So
I mean, dude, me too. I didn't want to listen to this at all.
Mm-hmm.
I like was putting it off.
Yeah.
Are you counting this song in four?
I'm not really counting it in like I wasn't counting it at all when I was listening to it.
I think it's in six. Except for like a couple measures that are in four. I'm talking 6/8. It's not a waltz.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 6/4. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And I was like, it's such an interesting choice. Did you happen to watch the interview with Patrick Stump, the Rolling Stone interview with Patrick Stump, where he breaks down the creation of this song?
No.
Okay, well, I've been waiting for this episode.
Oh.
Because this is splendid. A video I've seen a few times. I think I've maybe only seen it once, but and now I've seen it twice. But I gotta explain this to you. So
dos.
Maybe three. I don't know.
Tres.
Maybe I'll watch it with you. Tres.
Oh.
Maybe if another person comes in and they haven't seen the video. Cuatro.
Cuatro.
Cuatro. Is that how Duolingo says it? No. I was getting there. Yeah, yeah. I was getting to cinco and seis and siete and ocho and nueve.
One of the guys is like, uno.
Uno.
Cuatro. Like he's got the vocal.
Four doesn't come after one, doofus. Sorry. Anyway, the look you gave me was like Kubrickian. I was like, Jesus Christ. I was like, this motherfucker sees rage. All right. Anyway, so basically,
I'm monkey.
I will say, basically, I'm baby. Mm-hmm. I'm going baby on baby. He's breaking down the creation of this song. And I will say, this song did get watered down in the production process. Mm. This is a Butch Walker produced song. We've talked about him on the show before. Taylor Swift's I Knew You Were Trouble, etc.
A lot of Taylor Swift. A
lot of Taylor Swift stuff by Butch Walker.
A lot of Taylor Swift.
Patrick plays this original version of the first verse where the lyrics are like genuinely incredible.
Really?
Like really, really cool. They're a little rambly. And, like, they're a little, like, maybe abstract, but I really, really like them. And the way he sings it is, like, cooler than the way he sings the new verse.
Hmm.
So I do think that's better. There's also, like, this weird swing happening on the drums that makes it sound like 4-4. But then Butch Walker was like, what if we did straight drums over swing drums or straight drums over like every other instrument is swung, and like that just waters it down kind of hard. And it's also because Patrick's like, my wife said, could you imagine Andy Hurley playing this about the swung drum part?
Yeah,
which like fair fucking point.
Yeah,
but like
you could make him try.
I don't know, like for one song I think it's okay.
Yeah,
you know. And I will say the drum pattern and beat over this is not bad.
It's pretty standard.
Yeah, there's some trap snares in there that make me want to fucking die. But I don't know. And when he's talking about the song and like the way it came together, like it seems like this is one on the record that he was very, very excited about. Initially.
Yeah.
And then it gets a little watered down. And it's interesting to hear the demo, like the original demo, and it sound like a So Much for Stardust song. In this weird way of like he's trying things and it's like being pushed into this space that is like very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But then the final cut of it being sort of this like radio ready, like radio ready, but like still like odd metered song. Even if, I mean, like 6-4 can easily be counted as 4. Like, believe me, I get that. But like the way I'm hearing it is I'm hearing some of it as 6 and some of it as 4. But like it's still a weird song.
Yeah.
So it does result in this sort of like watered down, less interesting version of the demo, because, and Patrick kind of describes Butch Walker's production process as like he just looks at things and he like kind of gets rid of everything that like isn't needed, whereas I think Patrick maybe has a more maximalist approach to things.
Yeah.
It's interesting to hear the difference between And I'm gonna give you the difference between these two. Mm-hmm. It's interesting to hear the difference between this is us working with Butch Walker, this is Fall Out Boy working with Butch Walker, and this is Fall Out Boy back with Neil Avron.
Mm-hmm.
So my whole thing with this is like I listened to this song for Mania produced by Butch Walker, and then I shifted over and just like cleared my ears from that experience and listened to the most maximalist song on So Much for Stardust, What a Time to Be Alive.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference is What a Time to Be Alive sounds like a real band.
Yeah.
And I know they're not super comparable as songs and instrumentation wise, but Church feels extremely, extremely like not a real band.
Yeah. Which is, it's kind of interesting to like you point that out and I agree with you, but then you listen to the song and like there's individual elements that everybody's doing that on their own you could see taken from a real band. Like that bass line definitely sounds like Pete is actually playing it. The drums for the most part sound
pretty real.
They sound like supported by samples at least.
And I think another thing to point out is like this is one of the few songs on this record with like a noticeable guitar line.
Yeah.
Which is like don't know, man.
It's synth pop by technicality because there's like synth on here.
But like the thing that's gluing it all together just does not sound real.
Yeah.
And it's just interesting to hear these two production styles back to back because I think the conclusion I've come to is that this production style, Butch Walker, the other guy we hate, who Jake Sinclair, is that mm-hmm. his name? Wow, can't believe I pulled his first and last name. This production style for them is ugly on them.
Yeah.
It does not sound good. It does not look very good either.
No. Like
just watching these people play this music is not fun to watch. Whereas, and not saying that Neil is like the godsend of this band and that's the only guy they can work with, but like you listen to the stuff that they are doing with him and you're feeling like life breathed into it. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And that's what sounds good on them.
Yeah.
And obviously like I don't think that like the Neil Avron sheen would like make these songs better and vice versa. I don't think that like the songs on So Much for Stardust would be like bad necessarily. Like so much of this is songwriting.
Yeah.
You know? But like the way all of this is produced, it just goes to show you that like for a good amount of time, for three records, they were putting songs together that were more interesting and then getting watered down.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's weird to look at now with the hindsight of So Much for Stardust.
Yeah.
And the last time I watched this video was before So Much for Stardust was ever announced. And everyone kind of thought that Mania was going to be the last Fall Out Boy record because they were touring, but they weren't really doing a whole lot and they hadn't announced that they were working on anything. So like, you know, I remember watching this and just being like, oh, like they failed us. Like they could make something cool, but they're just not, you know?
Yeah.
And it's watching that video, listening to this song and listening to a So Much for Stardust song got me excited for the future of Fall Out Boy.
Yeah.
Because I know they still have it in them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they've always had it in them. Anyway.
I'm drawn back to that point where Patrick's wife was like, can you imagine Andy Hurley playing this drum part?
Mm-hmm.
And and then I think about that and I think about the title track on So Much for Stardust.
Yeah.
And like that opening part. Can you imagine Andy Hurley playing that?
And he plays it, and he fucking kills it.
And he does it.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds very uncharacteristic for him, but that's part of what makes it good.
Yeah, that's part
of it. Like, and then it launches
cool.
into the chorus, and it's like
and it sounds like him after that, mm-hmm. but, like, you know.
I think part of what was maybe shackling them to less interesting music for a while is just that kind of mentality. It's like, oh, can you imagine Fall Out Boy doing this?
Yeah.
Even though the ethos of this record was, can you imagine Fall Out Boy doing electropop? It's like, yeah, but they're still trying to accomplish it in the way that Fall Out Boy would do it, like the idea of the band.
Yeah.
And that's part of why I don't really get anything out of this track.
Sure.
Because it's not like it's not like they haven't done like weird grandiose shit before. This song just kind of plods around, and it doesn't really have that much motion. And it's not really
odd time stuff, like, does kind of like put it in this weird like state of like,
yeah,
how do I feel this beat?
Every time I listened to this song, I would get halfway through it and I'd be like, I really want this to be done, but there's still half of it left. Like, it feels like it's a 5-minute song and it's not.
It does feel longer than it needs to be.
It just kind of plods around for a while, and it feels like nothing really happens, even though the like there is a suitable amount of dynamics in this track. Like, Patrick isn't over singing for the whole thing. I would say this is actually one of his more restrained vocal performances in post-hiatus Patrick singing. Like, obviously the "If You Were Church, I'd Get on My Knees" line is like overdone a little bit, but I mean, it's the chorus, and then like the first line of all the verses is a little much, but then he gets like, he calms it down a little bit.
I was going to make that point too, that I think he sounds great on this.
Yeah.
And he sounds like, I think that some of the post hiatus stuff, he can lean into like this register of his voice. It's a text from my mother, I would assume. Oh no. Okay. He can lean into this voice that is like still on pitch and still on he can lean into this voice that is still like on like in key and on pitch, but it doesn't sound confident at all.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like wiltering. Yeah. And you hear it on stuff like a lot of the songs on this album, and you hear it a lot on fucking, what is that record called?
Which
American
one?
Beauty, American Psycho.
Yeah.
You hear it a lot on that, where you're just like, is he hitting this note?
Is
like,
he good?
He technically is hitting this note, but he just doesn't sound like okay with it. You know what I mean?
Like
he doesn't
like
sound. Yeah, Novocaine is very much that. Yeah. So, I think this song's biggest crime is that it could have been cool.
Mm-hmm.
I like it well enough, man. I think it's good. Yeah. You want to go through some lyrics?
Yeah. I don't even mind the lyrics as well. Like there's
neither do I. I think they're all right.
There's nothing in here that makes me want to blow my head off.
Nothing in here that makes me want to cut my own head off.
It's a good thing to say about this album. If you were church, I'd get on my knees, and that's obviously a line about how much he wants to suck Pete Wentz's dick.
Yeah. Is that what?
That's what the annotation says. No, it isn't. The annotation is just like, if you kneel in church, it's reverence to the Lord. And that is comparable to his dedication to his person.
The act of kneeling is an expression of reverence and submission related to church. Kneeling is considered to represent surrendering yourself to God. Some churches have kneelers, cushions to rest your knees on, equipped not only in the pews, but in the confessionals as well.
This is not the most obvious church-related metaphor for love or sex.
Mm-hmm.
I would say... a contender for that award is probably Hozier with Take Me to Church and like
sure
80 billion other songs that he's done that have religious
sure
metaphors in them.
Yeah.
Not
my
talking
favorite
shit
of
about
his
Hozier,
is If
way.
You Were the Pope, I'd Get Way Hornier. He has that song. If you were the Pope, I'd get way hornier.
I fucking love the Pope.
I want to fuck the Pope.
I want to fuck the Pope so bad.
That Hozier song.
Yeah, that
If
one.
You were the Pope, I'd get way hornier.
Yeah, that's what it's called. We're not shit-talking Hozier.
I am.
Okay, I'm not.
No, I don't care.
He's got good songs. Shout out.
I don't want to lose our female listenership. I don't want to lose every girl currently listening to this podcast.
Listen, Cherry Wine is goated. That's all I'm saying.
Shut up.
Kill
you
yourself.
Slut.
Fuck
good
you.
Lord. You male slut.
What's wrong with that? You're fucking up my game here.
I like Take the Pain, Make It Billboard Big. I think that's so stupid. But
my pain
like,
is big right now.
My pain's so big right now.
My pain and my bone are so big right now.
In this line, the writer continues the church imagery by encountering an escape route for all of his frustrations and struggles with the world on his loved one. I don't know about
big.
That.
Big, billboard, big. Billboard big. Then swallow it for me. Come lyric? Come lyric?
Like so many songs, like in the current pop era, I hate that this begins with a chorus.
Yeah.
I don't like any. Like, if there's some songs where I'm like, I'm okay with this because the chorus is like so good.
Mm hmm.
But, like, most songs, like, I want the chorus to be kind of a surprise. Like,
yeah.
What are you doing? You're spoiling it. You know?
I think, now that I think about it, most of the time when that happens, I'm just like, oh, okay.
I
think there are definitely good examples of it. I Didn't Just Come Here to Dance by Carly Rae Jepsen. That's a good one. That one starts with the chorus.
Yeah.
But like,
Hallelujah by Panic at the Disco starting with a chorus has always really frustrated with me.
Yeah.
Frustrated me. I don't know. No! I can't talk! Stop it!
No!
So mad. I just have garble mouth all the fucking time. I hate my fucking life. I liked... And if death is the last appointment, then we're all just sitting in the waiting room. Which
I don't
is
like how it's delivered. But
no,
I
love how it's delivered. I think it's
hate
awesome.
That part.
You got to get over that. Like, what do you not like about it?
It's
cool. The instrumental cuts out and then he says things really fast.
It's corny.
I hate that there's that little Mr. Stump at the end there. I hate that.
That
but
sucks. Yeah.
Yeah, that sucks. That can
I'm
die.
Glad we both agree on that. I just think it's corny. I think that's.
I disagree. I think it's all right.
I don't think the surrounding song is cool enough to justify it.
So you're saying it is cool, but the rest of the song isn't cool enough to have it in there.
No, I'm saying that it if it was in a cooler song, it
yeah.
would still be lame, but it would be fine because the rest of the song is cooler. So like it would justify it.
I think that it is a. It's again an instance of them trying something and I'm like, oh, that actually worked.
It's like if fucking Ryan Gosling put on Crocs. It's like, yeah, he's wearing Crocs, but he's Ryan Gosling, so who cares? It goes hard.
Yeah. I guess.
If this song was Ryan Gosling, then this part, which is Crocs, would be cool. But this song is not Ryan Gosling and it's still Crocs.
So what is this song? Like an Ed Norton?
I'd say this song is probably like Sam Worthington.
Ooh. Oh, he's not very cool at all.
No.
Oh, come on. You got to give somebody cooler.
He's a good actor.
He's a very good actor.
But he's not very cool.
He's not, I wouldn't even say a very good actor. Now that I'll
he's good
that.
In the Avatar movies.
Yeah, but like especially you kind of just one. Have to be a guy.
Yeah.
He's very good in the second one.
He's great.
That's
in
a good movie.
One. Still not
That's
cool
a
though.
Fucking good movie.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Sorry. I'm so disgusting. Why do you fucking put up with my ass, dude?
Carson, disgusting pace.
Hey.
I just got a notification for a reservation tomorrow.
Oh, a reservation?
A reservation.
Like a Native American one?
No. At a restaurant.
Okay. I was just wondering. You're Native. I just Why would I maybe. Have
a calendar notification about a Native American reservation?
I don't know.
You do. I don't even live on a reservation.
I know, but you could. I could. You needed to.
I live in Atlanta.
Well, there are no
reservations in Atlanta.
That's right, yeah. Do you want to do a land acknowledgement right now? All right, anyway. I don't
I
know,
get
man.
A notification. Hey, this reservation is still here. It's like, cool.
Cool. Hey, by the way, are there any in Georgia? There have
probably.
To be, right?
Okay. I don't know.
I don't know anything about that.
I've never lived on a reservation.
Are white people allowed in? Probably not.
I mean, it's not. I don't imagine that they could like live there. It'd be a little weird.
It would be weird. Yeah.
They could visit.
Yeah. But what if you sort of get stuck there, though?
I don't think anyone would like kill you about it.
Okay. All right.
White people have married into Native communities before. Like it's.
Mm.
I mean, that's what Killers of the Flower Moon is all about, is when that happens.
Yeah, but they didn't do good things after doing
that.
That's
when it happens and when it goes bad.
They didn't do that very well.
Yeah. I mean, it's happened and it has gone well before. Like,
yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like white people are banned from reservations.
Okay, all right. Yeah. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I don't know dick about shit. Yeah, I mean, I don't really have a whole lot to say about the lyrics other than, like...
I love the world. That's what he says in this song.
Does he say, I love the world?
That's what he starts verse two with. He goes, I love the world.
Yeah, it's interesting that doesn't have any sort of annotation. Can somebody clarify? I don't really know what that means. Would somebody mind putting a note on there?
Can somebody tell me what that means? I can't extrapolate any meaning from any of these lyrics without a genius.
Yeah, I don't know anything because I'm a little baby.
Yeah.
So
I am a little stupid fucking baby who doesn't know anything.
Yeah.
And I need genius annotations.
I like just got a tooth.
Yeah. I popped out like 8 minutes ago, dude.
Do teeth help you speak?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because you can't hit.
Yeah, I guess so.
You can't hit certain sounds without teeth.
Yeah. Okay.
Like fold your lips over your teeth and then try and say stuff.
Well, yeah. Okay. Well, I thought maybe you could like flick something off your gums. Yeah. Pain act.
Your gums would need to be pretty hard for that. Or
my gums were so hard as a kid, dude. That's why I talked so much.
Is that what?
Well, I'm just saying, like.
Is that what that means?
Do you think maybe like if reincarnation is real? And, like, you dying and seeing the light on the other side is, like, the light of the hospital room you're being reborn into.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't, like, form, like, full words, like, for a little while, for, like, a hot minute,
mm-hmm.
like, are you just, like, I remember everything about my previous life, and I'm trying to talk, but I can't because I don't have teeth? I guess I'll just be a baby.
I guess I'll just
Do you think
be
that's
a baby.
What happens? That's my question. Do you think that's what happens to you when you die?
Couple things.
Okay.
What if you don't see a light, but it's just because the power's out?
In the hospital?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
What happens then?
That means your mom's not getting an epidural.
Ooh.
How does an epidural work?
I have no idea.
I don't think it's electronic. I think it's probably fine.
I got the epidural.
I got that epidural in the cloud, bro.
Fuck, the cloud's down. We can't give you your epidural.
I don't know why I thought maybe an epidural.
What is
an epidural?
I think it's something to do with the birth. I don't know.
Yeah.
Can you tell this podcast is run by two dudes?
Yeah, this is the him brothers for sure, dude.
What about a C-section, though?
Ooh.
Like, my phone keeps falling off.
Well,
my
a C-section,
damn leg.
I think they put you under anesthetic.
That would be pretty psychotic
and then scoop
if they
scoop your boy out.
Scoop your boy out.
I think if you're getting reincarnated into a C-section, the light's probably even bigger.
Mm. The light's like overwhelming.
The light's like an oval shape.
Yeah.
Rather than...
You're dying and you like go blind. It's like, oh, fuck.
Dude. Yeah, that's why people go blind.
They see a glimpse of their next life and they're a C-section baby.
Oh, fuck, I was a C-section.
Fuck. Yeah. I can't look at things anymore because I'm a C-section baby in my next life. Fuck.
If your vision starts going when you're older, it just means that in your next life, like you're preparing to be able to see in your next life.
How can mirrors be real if our eyes aren't
but
real?
But do you think that like at a certain point you're just like, fuck, I guess I'll just be a baby. Like I can't say words. Surely I can have all these thoughts.
Surely there would have to be someone who is determined enough to remember. Well, I guess if they were determined enough to be like, I remember my previous life.
It would have happened by now.
Well, it might have happened, but they might have called this person schizophrenic.
Sure.
It's like, oh, you are insane. You are just a baby and you haven't lived all this life. Yeah. And then you're like, no, I was an oil rig billionaire. I had so much money.
The password to my account is Kronos.
And then it's like, oh, okay, we're locking you up, buddy.
Yeah, we're putting you in the slammer.
We're
dude.
Giving you so many drugs.
If you had a kid and immediately that kid was like, I was a oil bastion and
my net worth was $800 billion.
Yeah, yeah, and everyone thinks I died of natural causes, but you have to investigate me, your new son's murder. or daughter, sorry,
or non-binary child,
or that, yes,
I would investigate.
I would investigate the shit out of that.
If there's a chance that I'm getting $800 billion of oil rig money.
Yeah, for sure.
You're
just
I'm
hauling around
there.
This four-year-old that's like...
I'm going
It'd
up to
It'd be so funny that like your ultimate goal to be like, get back your riches, but also like Thomas the Train is the sickest thing in the world to you.
You know, I didn't really fuck with Thomas like that when I was an oil baron, but now this guy's sick as fuck, dude.
I'll give you another billion if you put on Winnie the Pooh.
Dude, if you don't fucking put on Bluey right now,
I
will drain your accounts of all of their money. And you can't stop me from doing that.
That'd be crazy.
Is this just the Boss Baby?
No, that's not what happened with the Boss Baby, I don't think.
Okay, I haven't seen Boss Baby.
No, I haven't seen either.
Tobey Maguire is in that movie.
What?
He's the old boss. No, he's the older version of the Boss Baby's brother.
For how long?
He like narrates at some points.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's what Tobey Maguire's been doing with all his time?
Yeah, I guess. Also, Eminem just wrote a song about him and put it out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Big
Tobey
Sean,
Maguire got
Baby
by
Tron.
A spider. Yeah. I kind of liked it. I haven't listened to it. I don't know.
I just think Baby Tron's hot.
Oh. Is Baby Tron Mexican?
I don't know.
Okay.
Tobey
Maguire got bit by a spider.
Tobey Maguire got bit by a spider.
Anyway, what would you rate this
song? I'm Baby Tron. Like a 5.
I'm going to give it a 6. Because I feel like, first of all, they've only played this song 14 times and never in America, which I find very interesting.
Kind of awesome.
Yeah. I think this would be sick live. I think if I heard this live, I'd be like, this is awesome.
Maybe. I guess they don't agree.
Maybe not. Maybe it just didn't work.
Maybe they think that shit is cringe.
Maybe that thing. Maybe. Maybe one of them is worried that soon they're going to get murked and they'll have to play the songs as a baby after being reincarnated.
Maybe they're afraid that one of them will get killed and they will become a C-section baby and go blind right before death.
No.
And then they have to find their way to the rest of the band as a baby.
No, I don't want that.
That would suck.
That would suck, dude.
Fuck.
It'd be so terrible. I hate being a baby.
I hate being a baby. Fuck. I hate being a former oil bastion who was C-section reincarnated into a baby. I fucking love Bluey, and my dad won't turn it on until I give him another $100 million.
I hate when all that happens.
I hate this. That'd be so fun. Just like, okay, honey, like, where were you an oil baron? Saudi Arabia. All right, well, I guess your mom's not coming.
Like,
sorry, I'm taking shots at Saudi Arabia today.
Fuck you, Saudi Arabia, I guess.
Women can drive there, I think, finally.
That's good.
Yeah. Progressive.
Yeah. Progressive nation, Saudi Arabia. Shout out all the women. I listen to Hozier.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
I watched Chapel The Chive.
I've heard of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Sure, sure, sure.
Yeah.
I finally listened to Chapel Roan, and I thought it was very good.
Yeah.
I realized that a few years ago, someone had sent me her song Pink Pony Club,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, this is cool.
Yeah.
Like, this is dope. And then I forgot about her entirely.
Yeah.
Now she's popping off. So good
now
for her.
Now she's swagging the fuck out.
The grind is real.
The grind is real. You know, yeah. The first single for that album came out in 2020.
Whoa.
Pink
damn.
Pony Club came out in 2020.
Shut up. Pink Pony Club's on the record?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this shows my ignorance. I've been listening to this girl rapper named Sophie Hunter.
I've heard of her.
I don't know if you have, because she has, like, I don't know. Like, she only has a couple songs that have, like, crossed the million mark on streams.
That doesn't mean I have.
I feel like
heard
I was on the ground floor there. I know that doesn't mean
Sophie
it.
Sophie Turner?
No, Sophie Hunter.
Sophie Hunter.
Sophie Turner was married to Sophie Jonas.
Jonas.
Yeah.
Sophie Hunter. Yeah, I kind of recognize some of these album covers.
Interesting. She has a song called Bionicle that is dope.
That's fucking awesome.
I was like, this is sick.
Bionicle.
Bionicle. Anyway,
she has a Bionicle tramp stamp. That's fucking awesome.
I hope she does. I hope that's real.
That's sick.
If she has a Bionicle tramp stamp,
that's baller.
That's dope.
Anyway, thank you so much for listening. If you're still listening, if you're not, your dream car now a reality. follow Carson and I's bands. At the Callous Dowboys on Instagram, at Callous Dowboys on Twitter. Follow my band at Bummer Hill on Instagram, at Bummer Hill ATL on Twitter. Subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/thedreadedwheel, and follow us on Twitter at thedreadedwheel. Give us 5 stars on Spotify and Apple Music if you haven't already. Send this podcast to 8 of your friends, and one of us will appear. It's like a witch's spell. That's how that works. But let's spin this damn ass wheel and well, how are we gonna spin the
wheel? Oh fuck! I didn't
your
think of that.
Your phone's broken. Wait, shit!
All right, when I get my phone fixed tomorrow, I'll spin it.
Okay.
And then, fuck! I didn't even think about
that. I guess
that,
next
man.
Week's episode will be a surprise, everybody.
Yep.
Okay. Well, bye. I guess. Fuck! That's
damn.
Crazy.
That is. Oh, hang on. I wanted to plug something real quick. Everybody, I have a Track Train page now. Which is a website where you buy and sell beats, like pre-made instrumentals, if you like. Because I know not everybody uses it to post rap beats, but I use it to post rap beats, and I'm pretty good at it. I've been doing it for a while. I love doing it. But I don't make any fucking money off of it anymore. Yeah. So, cause I don't tour on these songs and I don't pass them around to rappers like I used to. So, if you'd like to buy a beat from me, or if you know a aspiring rapper or popular rapper, honestly,
if you know Babytron,
please, I'll never ask you to do anything else. You don't have to ever follow my band. You don't have to ever do anything. but please. Track Train, that's T-R-A-K, not T-R-A-C-K. TRAKtrain.com/big animal.
Big Animal.
That is my Track Train page, and I would really appreciate it if you would like to check it out and buy a beat off of me, or if you know somebody who would like to. I'm really good at it, and I would like to have some cool passive income. yeah, that's it. That's all I was going to say.
Splendid. All right, bye-bye.
Bye.